Jason, the other day I was driving home and I pulled up right behind a car that had one of those custom White Sox license plates. And so they want to, you know, signal to the world, like, you know, I too am a fellow White Sox fan.
Or I hate my life. Or,
but they had taken red electrical tape and made an X through the White Sox logo on there as if they're trying to hide anything. But really, it draws just more attention that we're all, you know, to other people that know that we're all in this shared collective misery together. And that seems like kind of just like what the last year, but also kind of my whole life has been of White Sox fandom.
I was out at my father-in-law's farm a couple weeks ago, and this guy from Tennessee was up and he goes, "Hey, so what are you a fan of?" He's like, "Around here, you Cardinals, you Cubs, you Brewers." And I went, "No, I'm a White Sox fan." He just stopped for 4 seconds and he goes, "What? Why?"
I get apologies all the time, like I told people I have tuberculosis or something. That's where it's gotten to.
There are mornings during Morning Edition where I'll rattle off during that 22-21 game losing streak.
It's hard to keep track of the
I said at one point, like,
double-digit losing streaks.
I don't like myself. I don't know why I keep doing this. Every night I watch it. It's like an abusive relationship.
And then you have like fond memories of things that actually were never that good. Like, I'm thinking back to like Jose Valentin and the 2002 White Sox, who like didn't win a playoff game, maybe even didn't make it.
What's up? Did you guys see the White Sox won last night?
I mean, yeah, this is the first time we've won 3 in a row, and what, is it my whole life? Is it ever?
You know what? It's all about breaking records, and we got the season. We've only got 4 more games. We got the modern record of losses. I'm very stoked.
We're under 80 games under 500 now, so I'd say that's, you know, that's something.
But I got even better news. I got a White Sox alternative for you. Where's Spencer?
I'm here too, and we saw a good baseball team.
We saw a good baseball team. The White Sox are a baseball team. One word, but we watched a baseball team, two words, the way they spell it in 1880, 1870?
1858.
1858. We used the 1858 rules. We talked to Iron Chest of the Oregon Ganymedes, and he told us a little bit something about baseball.
Vintage style.
How's it going?
Spencer, this is Iron Chest.
Iron Chest, nice to meet you. I'm Spencer.
Nice to meet you, Spencer. Glad you found your way in. I followed
the parade. I tried not to drive into it. Thanks for letting us come out and check out this game today.
Oh, it's fun. I'm glad you can come.
These two teams are, I assume you're rolling, right?
Yep.
These two teams are, one's the Creston.
The other's DuPage County. They used to be the Downers Grove Plowboys, but now they're the DuPage Plowboys.
Okay.
From DuPage County.
And we were just saying right when you walked in, Spencer, that the ball's really lively. I mean, these guys are getting some big hits.
Yeah, it looks like some action's already going on here.
Yeah, and obviously no gloves.
And you said that the ball, they use the same ball over and over again, it gets softer?
Yeah, you try to keep one ball for the entire game, but the ball will start out firm, and the more you hit it, the softer it gets. It's like a softball, so it starts getting a little softer as the game goes on. So if it goes into the weeds over there, we stop play until we find it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so there, you don't get to keep a souvenir ball.
I think that's a good way to start off, is with the rule basics here.
Yeah.
We're playing by 1858 rules.
1858, the first year that they standardized baseball.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about those rules versus what you might see at a modern baseball game.
Baseball history, up until 1858, if you went to different cities, they all played by different sets of rules. Boston had a set of rules. New York had a different set of rules. And so you didn't travel much because you didn't like playing by different rules you weren't used to. In 1858, for the first time, they got together all the baseball teams, and they came up with a set of rules for the United States, and that's what they're going to play by. And then every year or two after that, they would get together and modify them if they needed it. So the 1858 rules are the earliest rules. They're very simple. They all fit on one page. And one thing is, you have to deliver the ball underhand. You have to release it below your belt. Mm. And it's a game of exercise, and they want you to hit it. So you get up and you say, "Where I want it," and you have to put it there because you want them to put the ball in play.
So as pitcher, you want them to hit it.
Yes, you want them to put the ball in play, and you want to be... One action. This is a game of action and exercise.
Wow. It seems very gentlemanly.
It is. Imagine that in baseball now.
Right here.
So they will call themselves out if it's a close play. You're supposed to, if it's a close play at a base, they determine amongst themselves if you're out or safe.
Oh, there's no umps.
If there's an umpire over there, but all he does is call foul balls. And he will, if there's a tie and they say, I got him out, no, I'm safe, he will say, I think this happened. And he will break ties. But that's all he's here for.
Okay.
He stands off to the side. He doesn't call balls and strikes unless you swing and miss three times. So you can pitch. There's no balls and strikes. You can pitch and wait for your pitch all day long.
Wow.
And then the other thing is one bounce out. So if you catch the ball in the first bound in either foul or fair territory, you're out.
Oh, okay. Neat. That's a big change.
A single or even a double in modern baseball would be an easy out. And there's no outfield fence. Fences will not be...
Right.
In existence for a long time. And they started putting fences to keep the crowd off the field. That's the only reason they started putting fences.
And it looks like you've got a pretty clear open field here, but I've heard that sometimes they'd play with just a tree in the middle of the field.
You can set up a field anywhere. Right. You can set it up with trees, buildings, and play. And you have home rules. You just deal with it. If it's off the tree, you talk about what happens if it hits a tree. Some fields have hills on them. Some fields are very bumpy. So that is part of the joy. You can set up a 90-foot base pass, a diamond, anywhere. And that's why baseball was so easy to play. You just needed three things, a bat, a ball, and something to make bases out of. And you could play it on any flat surface. And so they didn't have stadiums back then. So this is the first team sport in America.
There you go. We appreciate you guys coming out. Looking forward to a fine match. We'll introduce our team and get the show moving.
Aaron, Two Bits Bird.
Brett, Shifty Rogers.
Rick, the Rip Crook.
Dollar, Bill Roshai.
Michael, Mouth Benish.
Adam, Speedy Albright.
Tim, Two Base Stroker.
Ethan, Bob Heslop.
Kevin Rogers.
Tom, the Dandy Lesniak.
Can we find out what your nicknames are? We
don't wanna... Dollar Bill.
Dollar Bill?
Yeah.
Why
Dollar
call
Bill?
You that?
I don't know. We just pick our own nicknames.
All right.
His first name is Bill.
Yeah, my
first name is Bill.
Unoriginal.
Yeah.
Dollar Bill's a great name. What's your nickname?
Mouth.
Mouth.
The Mouth. Yeah, because I'm a smart ass.
He never shuts up.
Okay.
Doesn't shut up. Yeah.
Shifty.
Shifty. Is that self-explanatory? Or?
I guess.
Do you guys picked them yourself? You didn't?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you get named if you can't come up with one on day one.
Okay.
And it's Autumn Mist.
Autumn Mist.
M-I-S-S-E-D or?
M-I-S-T.
Even worse.
We got an old Hickory. We got a rookie.
Who's old Hickory?
Old Hickory. Is he coming today?
No, Matt.
Hickory ain't coming. You got Two Bits down here on the end.
Two Bits?
That's two base. He thinks he hits a lot of doubles, but I've seen him miss a lot.
He picked that himself?
That's Butter. We call him Butterball because he looks like a turkey. Oh, I didn't see you there, Butter.
Let's talk about the sort of the culture of, before Spencer got here, we were talking about nicknames. You're Iron Chest. And yes, I guess you should say, do you want to give your regular name?
Yeah, my Mark Iron Chest Herman. I'm the captain of the Ganymedes. I pitched and I took a few balls to the chest on comeback hits.
Okay.
And they bounced off and then I picked it up and threw it and they go, oh my
that's
God,
how you got your
Iron
nickname.
Chest. Okay. Yeah, so I am Iron Chest. So that's how I got my nickname.
And I bring you greetings of a former player, Slim Jim.
Yes.
Who said hello.
Yeah, Aaron used to be, he's a pitcher. Yeah, Slim Jim Sights. Yep.
So everyone has a nickname?
Everybody has a nickname. And you can come with your own or you earn one as the season goes on. But our little joke of our team is if you don't have a nickname and you don't care, we go, okay, oh, you're Autumn Mist.
Autumn
Mist. And that usually makes them come up with a nickname.
M-I-S-S-E-D.
No one liked that one?
No, nobody likes Autumn Mist. But it's pretty funny because we go, okay, you got to introduce yourself. You know, and we do that before the game. And
are so, most nicknames like physicality based?
Sometimes, you know, we had a EMT, and his nickname was Medicine Man.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a guy that was into bicycles, and his name was Wheels.
Sure.
And we had somebody that was a priest, and his nickname was White Wings.
White Wings.
Like so we had different names, and then you know we had. Somebody was the plumber. We just come up with different names.
This is very exciting. Oh, there's some play-by-play, Spencer. He tried to. They just got a run down between first and second.
Looks like
they
him out.
Got him. Yeah. Does that happen a lot?
Yeah. Those pickle plays are fun. And again, it's because of the rules, we have weird rules. If where the ball hits the ground determines if it's fair or foul. So if it hits the ground and then spins back behind the catcher and lands in front in fair territory, it's fair no matter what happens after that.
Okay.
So you have, so there's that, and if you catch the ball on the fly, which is considered a very manly thing to do, rather than letting it bounce.
Right.
It's an out, and it freezes the competition. You can't throw somebody out, but everybody has to go back to their base, and they can't advance. They get a free walk back to their base.
Okay.
So.
And you should say there's no mitts. So,
no, I mean, there's no mitts.
It seems
so
like
it can
be really painful when the ball is hard.
So catching
like
a ball on the fly. In fact, if you looked in the early box scores, you'd have runs, hits, errors, and numbers of balls caught on the fly.
Oh, they kept track of that.
Yeah, because that was considered very unique because it was so hard to do.
So he just let it bounce. It bounced right in front of him, and then he caught it.
Then he caught it.
Less painful, and he still gets the out.
And if you have a fast outfielder, if you have somebody that can really hit well and they just crank one, which would be a home run today, if the outfielder runs and catches it and it bounces up in the air really high, he'll just run under it and catch it before it's a second time.
Yeah, at first you would think there'd be a lot more scoring with the whole no strikeouts, but with that one bounce rule, that really
changes
it a lot.
But if you have good hitters, you should be able to put the ball anywhere you want to, where they can't get to it.
And it seems like the texture of the ball, because it changes over the course of the game, that would change the way the ball
It slows the strategy down a little. Okay. It will.
Yeah, and you mentioned the same ball throughout the whole game.
Yeah, and the winner of the
they would have done
and
back,
back then, the winner of the game would get to keep the ball as a trophy. So you would present the ball to the winning team.
What is this ball made out of?
It's there's two or three companies in the United States that make these balls. I think this ball, they make them, I imagine some of them are made overseas. But when we first started, balls were handmade and they would cost like $40 a piece. Now you can get them for $15 because there's, again, you have enough companies do it and there's enough teams out there that you have people that are stepping up and mass producing balls.
Is it close to the kind of ball they would have played in the late 1800s?
No, let me show you. I got one right here.
Nice.
It's called an X-stitch ball or a lemon peel ball. It's made of one piece of leather and it's got an X-stitch as opposed to a figure eight that you have two pieces of leather in modern baseballs. So this is, you can feel it. This is one that's been used a little bit.
Still seems like it would hurt if, if it came at you.
I'm not going to lie. We break fingers
in
the all
iron
the time.
Chest, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. This is pretty cool.
With you with this ball,
so are you able to, like, you can't do, you're not doing crazy, you're not doing knuckleballs?
Some pitchers do that to put spin on it, but it's not the norm.
Are you the pitcher?
I did pitch. I pitched some. I've become a manager and gotten enough younger players, I don't play very often if I can help it.
Okay.
Just because I'm really not going to contribute much to the team.
Right.
I started this game when I was 50, and now we've been doing it for 20 years.
Okay. We can do the math. So it seems like not only with the ball, but I guess the bats probably aren't this similar.
They are a little bit bigger and a little bit chunkier. So
I'm guessing no aluminum.
No aluminum. They have to be made of solid wood.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this feels like a regular bat.
It's a regular bat, but they're little. The shape of them, they don't have the skinny handles and the big,
right?
Big barrel, and they're generally a little bit longer. So, and you can't do cupped bats or anything.
Can you put super balls in them? Like if you're going
to
cork it?
No, you can't cork. You're not supposed to cork it. These were made not for power. They're made for accuracy. So back then. Today we have little skinny bats with handles, short bats with really skinny handles that you can swing really fast and get high velocity.
Right.
And you're hitting for power. Here you're hitting for accuracy, so the bat does not need to be the same type.
You're trying to actually get into a certain part of the field
strategically? You want to hit strategically in spots where they can't get to it on a bounce.
Oh, okay.
I mean, occasionally if you can hit it in front of him and lure them in, and then next time you get up, you hit it over his head. You could, if they start playing you, thinking you're just going to hit short stuff, then you surprise them with a long hit.
This hitter looks like he's got some.
This guy can hit, I think.
Yeah, let's see a hit.
Oh, look at that. One, two. So now it's two bounces.
Yeah,
plus,
it's a fair ball.
Is that a double?
A nice smack on that one.
No, he just moved it over. It's a single.
Okay. So in all things, you're trying to keep it true to the spirit of the time.
Yes.
Spencer and I are hot in our t-shirts right now. You're wearing wool.
Yeah, this is a wool blend. This is actually a reproduction of, a uniform that we found in our local newspaper from the 1870 of what Oregon, Illinois was wearing at that time.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, so we didn't have a picture, but they had a newspaper article describing the 9-button gray uniform. And so we based our uniform on an actual uniform that Oregon, Illinois wore.
Were they called the Ganymedes?
They've changed their name several times, just like the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs started out, you know, they were the White Stockings, and then they were the Zephyrs, and so the names over the years have changed. But yeah, the Ganymedes were one of the names back then.
I'm assuming it's from the spring by...
Yes, Ganymede Blackhawk. Spring. We're named after a mineral spring in Oregon near the Black Hawk statue. Margaret Fuller came to town in 1843 and named it and put Oregon on the map. It became a bit of a tourist stop. So back in the 1800s, you would have known that Ganymede Spring was something.
Wow.
It was well publicized. And Ganymede was the cupbearer to the gods on Mount Olympus, according to Greek mythology. So,
how difficult is it to play 9 innings in this wool?
Well, you know, you drink a lot of water and you hydrate, and you got to take it easy.
The socks I love too. That's the striped socks, yeah, are a classic.
It's a classic. The red and gray socks. So, yeah, the plowboys, their uniform was based on a uniform that they found from Downers Grove.
That's the Creston team?
No, the plowboys, the red uniform. The Crestons wearing white shirts.
What are they called?
They're the Regulators.
Oh.
And that's an Ogle County thing. Back there was a group of vigilantes called the Regulators before in the lawless days of early Ogle County that got together to hunt down criminals.
Oh, wow.
And
there's a surprising amount of teams and for towns around Northern Illinois.
You know, I think right now Illinois has maybe 12 active vintage teams, and most of them are in the northern half of the state. We have a lot of teams around Chicago, and then you have teams down in Springfield, we got them in Decatur. You have them in Champaign-Urbana. We've got them around St. Louis area. And then here, you've got several teams in around the Chicago area. COVID knocked out a few teams that didn't come back. We had a year off, and a lot of teams disbanded. But across the country, there's probably close to 300 teams.
Wow. Yeah, we did a story years ago and went to a game in Salmonok.
Yeah, and they folded during during COVID.
Okay.
And they didn't reopen. It's very sad. We loved playing them.
They had a tradition, I remember, of they rang a bell whenever someone scored.
Yeah, when you scored a run. Yeah, that's like a...
Either
a,
team?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, when you score, you would announce the score by ringing a bell.
Are there any kind of traditions like that are local to Oregon or Creston?
No, actually, we do a bell for our home games as well. It's just a fun thing. Vintage baseball is a really interesting. It started in New York at a historic town called Old Bethpage Village. It was like a historic village, and they started playing. And I read about it in Smithsonian Magazine that they were playing baseball by the old rules. And then it has spread west. They had a team formed in Columbus, Ohio, and right now there's tons of teams in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York, and those are East Coast teams, and then Illinois has a bunch, and then there's teams in Texas, and there's teams in Tennessee, and then there's teams in the San Francisco area. But there's this big void in the West right now where there's not many teams.
It's making its way out.
It's slowly,
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are women playing anywhere?
There are several teams that have co-ed teams that have members that are male and female. So.
Any on the Ganymede?
We have had women in the past, but currently we do not have a women player.
Okay.
But we've had two or three, yes.
Well, I really like the vibe of this, you know, the sort of like we're just all playing a game together.
It
we're
is.
Not trying not to kill each other. And
it's a game you can play for years after your prime.
Yeah.
The gentleman's rules and the competition part appeals to a lot of people. And it's a big change from people that just play softball. So it's a much nicer game, much friendlier game.
Uh-huh.
And the historic aspect a lot of people like, that you're actually showing historic baseball from a different time period.
There you go, Rams!
Go, 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 go!
That's
all right.
Stay on it.
This is going to be my new sport that I'm going to follow. Now, I hate to admit this, but I don't know if you've ever heard of the Chicago White Sox.
Yes.
That's my team.
Yes.
I'm having the most miserable baseball season
Historically miserable.
Historically miserable.
I saw a thing online about the White Sox that they said White Sox is. I like the White Sox because they show that anybody can play baseball.
Yes. But not well, apparently.
They said just shows anybody from any walks of life can play baseball in a professional level.
Yeah. Well, they make the Bears feel good because the Bears actually won more games in August than the White Sox did. Wow. They were exhibition games, but still.
Wow.
Not great.
Wow.
So as a White Sox fan, is there room for us here on the field? If somebody wants to join your division, your league. Ooh.
Go, Josh! Go, Josh, go!
So an overthrow, you can run as far as you can.
Wow. We got a triple here. Will he go all the way?
I think we might have a home run.
Is he going to go all the way?
They found it.
He's going. Oh.
Oh.
Ouch.
Got him at the plate.
Wow.
Wow. That was exciting.
So basically it was an overthrow at first base. It rolled under a car. And
over
it got,
by the head of his meat truck.
Yeah, by the meat truck. And he had to go under and get it, but they threw him out at the plate. So these are 90-foot base paths. This is not 60-foot like recreational softball. This, if you hit a double here, it's the same as a triple in softball. So.
Do you ever have an instance where like a fan or somebody who's not even aware that you're playing will toss the ball back and
yes,
play?
Yes, and there's a rule for that. You have to get it to the pitcher, and the pitcher has to have it on the pitcher's mound before you can make a play on somebody.
Wow.
So if a fan throws it in, the pitcher has to go to the mound, hold the ball, and then you can do something with it.
Okay. In the meantime, the runner is still going?
He can run as much as he can get.
That's part of the excitement, though. The ball can go out into the parking lot, but you still got to play that.
Again, the reason they put fences around modern baseball was to keep fans off the field.
It's not to keep the ball in.
It's to keep fans off the field. You have these pictures of early games, and you'll see really like exciting games between two good teams. The outfield would be lined with spectators because they didn't have bleachers.
Uh-huh.
So you'd have people standing all along the first, second base, all around.
Yeah, and that could be a problem.
And then the ball would bounce into the crowd. And then after a while, they said, and the people would wander onto the field and go, no, gotta get back, stay back.
That's funny.
So that's what makes it fun. Now, we also go to other places, and other states play by other sets of rules. Like Wisconsin plays by 1860s rules. If you go to Michigan, they like to play 1864, 1867 rules. Some teams actually recreate 1880s rules where they use catcher's gear. So you can play different time periods. Vintage baseball can be used according to the year that you want to play as to what rules you want to go by.
Towering pop.
Because every year the rules changed a little bit and they added something. Just like modern baseball, they just changed the size of the bases.
Right, always changing.
Is there a lot of lingo? Oh, I'm sorry. I keep hitting your shoe.
That's right. Lingo. We have a lingo sheet that I can show you. But
what's the difference between current contemporary lingo?
Like a run is an ace. You score aces. You are, when you're not out, you're in.
Interesting.
That makes sense.
So you're not safe. So you're either out or you're not out.
Mm.
So the umpire would say he is in. He's not out. They wouldn't say
that
safe.
That does make sense. Okay. No safe.
No safe.
No infield fly rule.
No infield fly rule. In fact, that's often a strategy. You will purposely drop it so you can get a double play.
Oh, I'm guessing that's why they have the infield.
Yes, exactly.
What about bunting? Are they allowed to bunt?
Bunting, you have to swing through, so bunting isn't something you can do.
That was probably not gentlemanly to do.
Well, they did it later, but the early baseball like this, that bunting hadn't been delivered. And the other thing is you don't have, you can't bunt and you can't slide and you can't steal.
Probably would be hard to slide in some of these pants, too.
Yeah,
baggy
pants, but sliding is prohibited, so you ask not to slide.
That's it. Line drive, three bounces,
nice
and plays. And he plays it nicely and throws it in. There you go.
You're not limited to one base. He could have.
Oh, he could go as much as he wants. If you're fast, you can go for two anytime you want to.
Okay. No stealing?
No stealing, not in this, and no leading off. They would start stealing 1860, and then after a while, we play rules where you steal and slide. So, they add that every year. They would say, okay, we didn't. This came up. We're adding this rule. Oh, we want to make it more. We want to add this. We want to make sliding available. We want to start. They didn't have any rules against stealing. Oh, we're going to allow stealing.
Imagine
now.
The team that invented stealing. They're just like,
they would say,
by our rules. We can do this.
They would say, look at the sheet. There's nothing that says you can't steal.
Right.
And they'd say, okay, next year we're going to address that.
Build back with it.
So then the other towns are like, okay, we're going to do that too.
We're going to steal too.
So this guy caught it on one bounce,
yes,
and the runner advanced. But had, yes, he caught it in the air, he would have had to stay at first.
Yes. So if you catch it on one bounce, you can advance at your own peril. So strategically, you try to catch it on the fly, and that freezes the runner. And that's three outs, I think.
And it doesn't look like, so there's no trying to like show anybody up, no showboating, no like hiding the ball.
I'm not going to say that we don't have some competitive games and teams are really excited about winning. So that does happen. There are going to be, our game with Creston, we hope, is going to be a good competitive game. So, because if you're evenly matched and it's a close game, yes, you get excited.
And this is the last game of the season, right?
Yes, so this is our last weekend of the season.
Do you call it the championship game, or is it?
No, it's just our season ender. We always, our first game we played back in 2005 was against Creston. And every season after that, we have our opening game is in Creston on generally the first Sunday in May.
Okay.
And then lately, our last game has been in Creston, too.
I noticed there's a scoreboard across from Park West,
yes,
and Oregon. I'm guessing that's your scoreboard.
That's our scoreboard.
Putting it all together now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so that's where you play?
That's where we play.
Now,
right
there are trees in that field.
Yes, we have three trees in play.
Okay.
And we've had that field ever since we started. And it's a fun field because of the trees and the setting. You got the schoolhouse in the background and the river.
Yeah.
And the river. It's a lovely place to play ball.
It bounces off a tree. It's just still in play. And
back when we first started, most teams that were formed were parts of museums, or they were part of a historic town, or they were part of a living history village. And so you try to have a field with ambiance.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't like playing on a regular baseball field with a skinned-in field. We like to play on just open grass. And if you have historic buildings and a nice background, that makes it.
I guess that makes sense. You are in a baseball field here that has two
things,
but you're not using them.
No, we're not using them. We really don't like skinned infield. One, it's it just doesn't look right. And the other thing is the ball's much faster on dirt, and it's much more dangerous. The grass slows it down.
Yeah, the chain link fence just
kills the ambiance.
Yeah.
Oh, off his fingers.
In the air.
On the fly! On the fly! The runners return to their bases. There are two heads there.
And if people want to play, get involved,
you
always get recruiting?
Yeah, we are always looking for recruits, or we can refer you to another town that's looking for players.
So Facebook, and you guys have a website too?
No, actually, we just have a Facebook page.
Okay,
Oregon
cool.
Ganymedes. We have a really good. We have a really nice Facebook.
I'm
page,
guessing a
actually.
Lot of the teams probably have Facebook pages.
Yeah,
that's kind of the best. Is that the best way to look up?
Yeah, some of them, like I said, are linked to a historical society, and they might use theirs. But for the most part, Facebook seems to be the most often used by teams to get the word out about things.
Yeah, what's the best way to for people if they want to check if their town has a team?
Well, you can go on the Vintage Baseball Association. It's the VBBA. Baseball was two words then, so Vintage Baseball Association. They have a listing of all the teams by state, and they have the contact information for most of them on how to get a hold. But you can look on there, and they have a lot of the teams that are listed there if you're trying to find somebody local.
Whoa!
On the fly.
Nice one-handed catch there.
Showboating.
I know. And so,
I think you made a statement.
I'm always amazed when you catch it. The best thing is when you see outfielders do that, where they're running and they make a one-handed catch in the outfield. That's always exciting.
And he didn't even get a little shake afterwards, which I would have to do even if I was wearing a mitt.
No, he caught it clean.
Where are they taking you out to eat afterwards?
Well, actually, I think we're having a cookout right back there.
Yeah, we should mention that it's booster days right
it's
now.
Booster.
So there's a carnival going on right next to us here.
We had Spencer and I had to get through a parade to find you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Creston Boosters Day. This is just one of the activities for the boosters. Oh, nice. Oh, nice play at second.
A little town like Creston can have a team. You'd think every town needs a team.
If you look in your historical records of your local newspaper, every town in northern Illinois, every town in the state had a baseball team right after the Civil War.
And you're the one who revived it for Oregon.
Yeah. But if you look in the newspapers, you had your best nine playing baseball games against local teams was very common. Here you go. I got your rules.
Oh, cool. Rules.
And I got your slang words.
Oh, we got some fun ones
hot
here.
Hot corner third. Muff is you make an error as a muff, and if you're a bad player, you're a muff in.
Now, huzzah means hooray?
Yes.
How am I going to remember that?
Hip,
is there
huzzah,
like a method, some sort of mnemonic device?
Huzzah. I love muffin and muff.
Yeah, so... So if you want a peach of a play.
Peach of a play.
Retrieve your laurels.
Skunk them.
What's retrieve your laurels?
That means play better.
What's
like
the tally?
They give you laurels when you win a race. You get a crown made out of laurel leaves.
You have tallies instead of scores.
Yeah.
And we just heard the hip hip huzzah.
Is that a regular ritual?
Game's over.
You cheer each other team, you shake hands, and then there'll be a break before our next game.
Did Creston win? Is that?
I assume so.
Oh, and Dan, you could say that the other team went down kicking like steers.
You could, but, you know, if you got a couple of lead foots on your team.
Yeah, or muffins.
That's a slow runner.
You better run your ice wagon.
You're going to need some good strikers to get some, to get a treble play.
Drop a duck egg on them.
Yeah.
Hold them scoreless drop a duck egg.
And we're going to glad hand you when you guys get out there.
We hope to grab the leather in style. That's a great catch.
There you go! There you go! Nice play! Go! Go!
I'm going to get him in, baby.
There's Terry Schuster.
Yeah.
Royals. Remember, we were just talking about we were talking about you. You're going to be in the episode.
They were trying to. They were trying to figure out a nickname for you.
We gave you a nickname.
No.
What did we say, though? Superfan, I think. You traveled to Gettysburg. Here, sit by the mic. Spencer.
I think Zippy you called him, Dan.
Zippy, yeah, Zippy. That's what we're calling
him. And I traveled to Gettysburg, but not for the war memorials.
No,
it was to see the game.
See baseball.
So this is Terry, this is Spencer.
Hi, Spencer.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
We're just talking to Iron Chest.
Yes, he is remarkable. He's got statistics for every game. You know, he's got write-ups for all the games.
Yeah.
And we've collected all the photos that Erling Hitton has done.
Just get a shot of it.
So how did you find out about this, Terry, and get involved?
I don't know. Zippy.
Zippy, sorry.
Well, I know Mark, and I know he's been doing this vintage baseball thing for a while, so I showed up for a game once in a while. And it's like, this is really strange. All these different rules. I could play by these rules. Catch a ball in the bounce? Sure.
Have you played?
No.
Why don't you
play? No way. No, I'm not going to catch a hard ball coming at me that fast.
Well, have you, you're afraid of having a grabbing the leather in style?
That's the word. You've got this down, don't you?
Well, yeah, I got a little cheat sheet here. Do you think you could drop a duck egg on him?
No. What's that anyway?
Well, that means, of course, hit the,
hold him scoreless.
Hold him scoreless.
Drop a duck egg on him.
But you're kind of a grandstand manager.
Sure.
It's right here.
I guess I am. No, it's just fun to watch these guys have fun. And they're so serious about it. I mean, if it's just for fun, you know, I'm not going to go sliding 10 feet into home plate or anything like that. I'm just going to consider myself out and go home.
Of course, that would be against the rules to slide, Terry.
That's
but
true.
Okay.
Well, it depends on what...
Nice try.
It depends on what year rules you're playing by.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, nice.
A tower
line
drive from the Ganymede.
Great start for the Ganymede. So, we did leave a little early from the game. Dan, what was the final score here from the Oregon Ganymedes versus the Creston Regulators?
Well, the Oregon Ganymedes, they played two games, as you know. They played a doubleheader, and they beat Creston 10-5 in that first match.
Match, not a game.
The tally was 10-5, but the tally against the DuPage Plowboys, are you sitting down, White Sox fans?
Always.
This is a number you have not heard. They beat the DuPage Plowboys by 25-1.
I didn't even know that was legal. You
and no one got hurt. There was no mercy rule in the 1850s. And so the Oregon Ganymedes, a dominant performance. And then they get fed dinner by the opposing team. And as you heard, everybody gets a nickname. I was wondering if you fellas have thought about what nickname you want. It's got to be something based in the 1830s. It's got to be a name that existed then.
We've discussed this terrible mustache that I've been attempting to grow with. So I'm Greasy Gary.
Greasy
I'm going to go with
Gary.
Greasy Gary.
I guess they had grease then.
Yeah.
I would go with it's got that French look. I like Jason the French Tickler or something like that.
I don't love that.
Okay.
I don't love that.
Sessions Spencer. Spencer Sessions.
There we go.
Did they have Sessions back then?
Yeah.
What do you think, Peter?
You know, education reporter. I'm thinking about like school terms.
School
like,
marm?
Schoolhouse Pete.
Schoolhouse Pete.
Okay. That's not too bad.
That's not a bad name.
No. I've seen your beer cat stuff. Libating Libman.
Libating Libman.
Like to... Even beer cat is a pretty good nickname.
I'll go with beer cat. Beer cat. Yeah, I'm going to go with beer cat. If only we just had one, now that we're in this mood from winning, we get the losses of the White Sox out of our system. If only there was one more piece of winning that we had to like... Who's at the door?
What you been doing this weekend?
It's Sue Stevens.
Hey. Drowning our baseball
what
sorrows.
Is this?
Third place, almost winning, at the Ohio Pawpaw Festival Best Pawpaw.
That's a
this beautiful work huzzah. Of art, which also huzzah. Came with it. And a $50 prize.
Did you make that or did that?
No, this was part of
it's
the
a
winnings.
Big pawpaw brooch that has, it looks like it has three pearl pins or something.
Made
and like,
of recycled trash.
Nice.
That's how you know it's good.
Exactly.
Well, that's a real striker. Huzzah. Yeah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah to that.
Now, Jason, are you sure that we shouldn't be taking our energy that we're needlessly pouring into baseball and maybe devote some of that energy to growing fruit, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, spend more time with my family and my son or something.
I think we need to, like, instead of peach of a play, we need to say pawpaw of a play.
Nice.
For a good play. Go.
Hey, how'd the Tigers do this year?
Better than the White Sox.
Their division.
I think they're like two games out of the wild card, in all honesty.
They're not bad, actually.
Nine games out of first. But.
Their central division, though, the division the Tigers are in is like 40 underwater. Even
the White Sox.
Every other team has a winning record.
Last in the standings and last in our hearts.
This was a fun show.
This was great. We should thank Iron Chest. Mark Herman of the Oregon Ganymedes, as well as all the other players we talked to. Whose nicknames I no longer recall. But.
Terry?
And we should absolutely thank Terry Schuster, Uber fan Terry Schuster, for turning us on to vintage baseball and for other tips of other shows, which may be coming up.
If someone has a tip for another show, what should they do?
rocks@niu.edu.
On it.